What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, folks, welcome to another edition here of Kranz's Corner. We got a special guest on here. We talked to Matt, and well, bring on Matt Miller here, ESPN NFL draft analyst and insider. We've talked to Matt like right before the draft the last couple of years. He does about 8,000 interviews. He writes about 8,000 mock drafts and everything. So to get a couple minutes with him, I always like, Matt, first off, welcome back to Kranz's Corner. We always appreciate your time here.
Yeah, no, I always appreciate the invite. This is great.
We love having you here. Listen, I'd rather talk to you in January than have you on in like October, November talking about draft stuff, because that means that your team's totally out of it. You got nothing, you know, at that you're worried about what quarterback or what franchise player you're looking for. With the Dolphins, it kind of waited till the end, until the end of the season to get let down like we sometimes do down here in South Florida. But before we even get to some of the Dolphins stuff, what were your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend? Commanders, Rams, biggest upset? Like, there were some... There's always a couple dud games, and there were, but there were a couple good ones in there also. I don't want to just say, oh, what a bad week. It was a good, I thought it was still a decent weekend of football whenever you can get football.
Yeah, I was talking to my son about this because he asked if I was sad that football season was almost over. I was like, yes, because, you know, for me, it's such a habit. If I wake up on Saturday, I watch College Game Day, I watch football all day. I wake up on Sunday, I watch, you know, Countdown, and I watch football all day. So, like, there's that element that I'm sad about. You also get excited because it means it's draft season, which is, you know, my time to go to work. But I'm with you. You know, I think you could look at the scores from the weekend and say, you know, there weren't any close games. It's almost like that first round of the college football playoffs where people are like, man, there just weren't any close games. That's normal. It's like you're separating, you know, these teams out. You're dividing the great teams from the good teams. And, you know, the regular season weeds out the bad teams and the average teams. The playoffs weed out the good teams from the great teams. That's what happened. The LA Chargers are a good team.
Yeah,
the Pittsburgh Steelers are still a good team. They just ran into an opponent that had their number. I mean, last night's game, prime example of this, the Minnesota Vikings, great team all season.
Right.
They just ran into someone that had their number. You know, the game I enjoyed the most was the Commanders-Buccaneers game.
Right.
Just to, you know, to watch. I'm a Baker Mayfield fan. I've liked him since he came out of Oklahoma. I'm a bigger Jaden Daniels fan probably, so I loved watching them. And I think that is the fun part of the playoffs is the team that, you know, kind of gets – I know they won 11 games the regular season, but the team that kind of gets written off a little bit, to watch them go out and win. And you can say the same for Houston. I think a lot of people thought Houston was one and done, and now they're advancing to the next round.
I love the playoffs because you're right. The cream rises to the top usually at this point, or the hot team continues to be hot at this point. I would have thought before the season started, if you would have told me the Rams would be in the divisional round, I almost would have kind of laughed at you a little bit. Like, come on, they might not even be the second or third best team in their division. Nevertheless, a team that can make it to the divisional round. That's the beauty of the playoffs. And who would have ever thought, the rookie quarterback, Washington, would have gotten to where they are right now. So you're right. I love it. And I love watching Jaden Daniels play. I mean, you look at the top of the draft last year and even the year before that with the quarterbacks that are going to be taken. Jaden Daniels got to be right there at the top of the list. C.J. Stroud's up there also, too. Bryce Young obviously taking a little bit of time, and he looks good again. And I'm not worried about Caleb Williams. I think once things kind of get to the point, he'll be fine. But Jaden Daniels, Matt, I would pay. There's not a lot of people I'd pay to watch play, especially where, you know, we get freebies all the time here being in the media. But I think I'd pay to watch Jaden Daniels play at this point.
You know, I took a lot of heat last year at this time because I said, you know, he's Lamar Jackson. People are like, you can't say that. I feel okay about it. Like, I'm comfortable with that comp. Sometimes you throw a comp out there and it's terrible and you have to, you know, you kind of make fun of yourself and you got to go, you know, do the round saying, like, my Derrick Henry take, you know, was horribly bad. And it's like, okay, you just try to learn from it. You try to make fun of it. But when you get one right, you also try to remind folks that you do know what you're doing. And he's the closest thing to Lamar, you know, that we've seen in a long time. It's the escapability, the way he can make himself skinny and get through contact, and then the vision to always be finding his guy down the field. Some of those throws to Diami Brown, it was like, I mean, just put number 8 on him and put him in purple and black, and like, that's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he is so much fun to watch play. All season long, he's just been one of those guys where if the Washington game is on at some point, whether it's or the Red Zone channel, whatever it is, I'm kind of excited to watch, you know, to see what he just did or the highlight that's coming up. Listen, the Derrick Henry stuff, I think that anybody at this point could have been left or right on this guy. Like, you just never – like, I would have never thought, especially the amount of times he ran the ball in college – that he would be able to come in and sustain. It's almost like the Eddie George factor where he ran the ball so much. By like year 6, you can see the wear and tear. Derrick Henry, it's like somebody lit a you-know-what up his you-know-what. And look at him in Baltimore. It's fun. And that offense too, unbelievable the way that they've kind of acclimated him in there. I didn't know how it was going to kind of work out, if Lamar was going to lose touches or Derrick. They made it work, and that team is fun too. But there's a lot of fun teams left. And the divisional round, obviously, you have to start with Bills Ravens. You have to start with that game.
Yeah.
It's probably – this could have been the AFC Championship game, and I would have bought a ticket to this one as well. We got a really fun one coming up. There are good matchups coming up here, including, I think, Eagles-Rams. It'll be an underrated good contest here. But Bills Ravens, I mean, NFL, well done. You got it in the divisional round, not even the AFC Championship round at that point.
All of these games, like if I had to choose one to not watch, it would be very hard to pick one.
Right.
You know, you have to leave your house for 3 hours this weekend.
Right.
When are you going to do it? It's like, I'm going to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to do it because I want to be like, I want to be comfortably locked in for these games. Bills Ravens is, I think, the matchup we're all most excited about. Lions Commanders is going to be fun too, though. I mean, watching the Lions defense try to stop Jaden Daniels is going to be a treat. And the Lions are so banged up defensively, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Chiefs, Texans, you know, there's obviously the history there. The Texans were up 24-0 on Kansas City.
Right.
In a playoff game not that long ago. And then Eagles, Rams, it almost feels like the two teams that have been the best in the NFC the last 5 years are going to go head to head. And, you know, for me, it's like the Commanders and Rams are this great kind of thing that I want to study after the draft of how they have built themselves, because the Rams went all in
right
like 3 years ago. They go, I mean, veterans everywhere. And it's like, we're going for broke. You know, it was the F them draft picks t-shirt.
Right.
And 3 years later, they're in the divisional round and they look like a juggernaut with young players everywhere, like across the board, young players. And so the way that they've reinvented themselves twice is something that I want to study. And then just the Commanders, what a great first draft by Adam Peters and new ownership. It's crazy. And when you were talking about Derrick Henry, I was thinking about this. It's crazy how much situation matters. When you have talent and you're put in the right situation, it's amazing what can happen. And I think that's the case for Washington. Even for Detroit, the turnaround for Detroit has been historic, and it speaks so much to getting the right people in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Rams example is probably one of the best examples, especially for a guy like you who is a draft guy, who you're right. A couple years back, it was, let's just win a Super Bowl, and then we could be bad for 4 or 5 years if we need to be, and that's okay because we'll win a Super Bowl. Listen, I'm here in sunny South Florida with this Dolphins organization who 6 years ago said, we're going to be a contender. We have all these first-round picks. We have all this money in free agency. And we're basically in the same boat with a couple better names on this team and on this roster now, including Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey, but still no playoff wins. Washington, the Rams, teams like that who basically had to turn it all over or get a new quarterback or, well, we'll see how we can do in the draft. Look how quickly, if you have two drafts or two or three straight drafts with good players, you could turn not just your team around, the franchise and everything around it. It is truly amazing. And I would love to see the study you would put in if you did a deep, deep check on these teams, because there's so many moves that these teams made where you're kind of questioning it. And then 3 years later, here's Washington, here are the Rams and some of these other teams that have been trying to do it another way, out of the playoffs or never even got in it. It is truly unbelievable what those two teams have done, at least those two teams.
Yeah, and to be very simplistic, it's get the head coach right, get the quarterback right.
Right.
If you have those two things, you know, it's I won't say it's easy, but it's a hell of a lot easier, which is why, like, right now I look at the Patriots in your division.
Right, right.
I think you might have both. And so it's who could be that quick turnaround next year. Patriots roster is really, really bad. I mean, right now, as it exists today, really, really bad. But you got those two things that are really, really important. You got money, you got draft picks. Like, that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, New England gets two straight drafts where they get a bunch of players, six or seven good players in this team. New England will be right back into it, and the Dolphins will be back in the sort of the bottom of the division. As long as the Jets are there,
you'll always have the Jets.
As long as the Jets are in the division at this point, I know we won't be the bottom, but we'll be very close to it if New England can make it back. And that, let me tell you, that would crush Jet fans and Dolphin fans if somehow New England turned it all around that quickly with Drake May and have a couple of good, you know, maybe sign a big free agent, have a couple of good draft picks, and then all of a sudden they're back in contention. That would really make the rest of the AFC East teams and fan bases pissed off. Let's go back come back down here to South Florida for a second. I think a ton of help is needed on this team because I don't think they're deep in a lot of areas, and there are some areas that need help. Listen, the Tua situation is the Tua situation. They need a veteran backup, or they need to draft a guy. I don't think the Dolphins with number 13 are going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to go in a different direction, obviously, and you have better insight on that than me. But we come into that second round, and a guy might drop, and he's a quarterback. I wouldn't be upset as a Dolphins fan if they kind of said, we're going to bring in a little competition. Tua's still our starter, but we need someone back there. They were grossly negligent, I guess you could say, by bringing in Mike White and Skylar Thompson and just thinking that's going to work this year with a guy like Tua. I love Tua. I was a tank for Tua guy back years ago. I wanted to have a franchise quarterback. I wanted to work with Tua. But you got to be smart as a fan base. And you got to be smart as a franchise and have someone back there, God forbid, and just in case, especially when he's kind of where he is injury-wise. Do you see something second or third round the Dolphins might be able to kind of get up? I know we're close. I know Jadorn Cammer at the top, and then there's other guys. But if they pick somewhere in that second or third round, can they get a guy that you think is capable as a backup?
As a backup, absolutely. I always caution, in the modern NFL, there's no such thing as a middle-class starting quarterback.
Right.
You draft
right.
him in the first round, or you get super lucky and find a Brock Purdy in the seventh round. So, yeah, backups, I mean, look at Dillon Gabriel, who is at Oregon this year. He's bounced around a little bit in college football, but I think he fits that offense well. It's also, you know, he's a smaller left-handed quarterback. Everything's going to stay pretty consistent in your offense if he's right. back there. So you look at that fit, it makes sense. Quinn Ewers from Texas, I think, would fit this offense really, really well. If you could, you know, kind of get him over his fear of failure. You see that at times in games where he plays too conservatively. If you could get over that a little bit, I think he fits the offense well. Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, I think he's probably going to be a riser in this process to where, you know, pick 13 in the second round, he might not even still be around.
Right.
Jalen Milroe from Alabama, similar situation. Great tools, not a very refined passer, but somebody that Mike could definitely work with. So find a backup quarterback in this draft, absolutely possible. I'm with you, though. I think you maybe do both. Maybe you bring in a veteran.
Yeah.
Maybe you bring in a Jacoby Brissett, and then you draft a quarterback so that you not only are covered in case of emergency, but you're also, you know, cognizant of the future.
Yeah, I listen, I'm after this season, and it kind of derailed after week 1.5 for the Dolphins when Tua went out for 4 or 5 weeks and then he missed some games at the end. You need to have someone there. You look around the NFL, you look at backup quarterbacks coming in, you don't necessarily want it. I don't care what team you are in the league. If your starting quarterback goes down, you're probably not going to have as great as a season as you wanted to have. I get that. But you don't have someone there that could come in for a 2 or 3 game stretch, hopefully not that long, but even a 2 game stretch to not sink the boat, then you need something there. Quickly, before I get back to the Dolphins, Cam Ward and Shador, 1-2 on your list, maybe not in that order, but are those your top two quarterbacks?
Those are the top two, and that is my order. I have Cam ahead of Shador. We've got about 3.5 months to sort all this out.
Right.
And the great news is, at least Shador is participating in the East-West Shrine Bowl, so I'll get to see him in about 10 days. I leave for Dallas in 10 days. So I get an opportunity. I've seen him in person already, but it'd be good to be around him for a couple of days and get a better sense of, you know, who he is as a teammate, as a leader, as a person. So that the important part of that process with quarterbacks is really starting right now.
Right. Who's three? If those two are two, who's your third guy right as of today? Not in 3 months, but as of today.
As of today, it's Jackson Dart from Ole Miss.
Okay.
But let me tell you, like the drop off from 2 to 3 is pretty big this year. Yeah. So
I can say that's why I was interested to see who you had at 3, because I kind of know who the top two guys are. But I think from 3 to 7 right now, or 3 to 6, you can almost, you know, put guys in places right now, and they're going to move around. Like you said, Jackson Dart could be, and we know this, and Matt, you've covered a million drafts, and I've seen a million drafts and covered them also. When we get to draft day or the week before the draft, Jackson Dart's going to look like a first-round pick. This guy's going to probably look like it's always going to end up happening, whether the grade is there or not. Teams are going to try to get quarterbacks, and like you said, by 13 in the second round, there could be one or two guys left on the board, or 4 or 5 guys left on the board in that instance. Patrick Paul was drafted to replace Tron Armstead down here in Miami. Obviously a project guy, at least for year one. I liked Aaron Brewer, Austin Jackson coming back. I could probably go back to the last 3 or 4 years we've talked about the guard situation for the Dolphins and what they need to do there. How is the guard class this year? Again, 13 might be too high for a guard at this point, but that second or third round, I just expect it to happen at some, you know, they're going to have to do something there. Mm-hmm. What's the depth in guards in this draft, you think?
It's good. I think you also have, guys who are ready to step in and start right away. And that's excluding, you know, like the first round tackles who could be guards, like Will Campbell, LSU, Kelvin Banks, Texas. They could end up being guards. They're probably going to come up the board before 13. Tyler Booker from Alabama, if he's there in the second round, like you just draft him and you've solved the problem, right? I think that's one way to look at this. Both Georgia guards, Tate Ratledge, Dylan Fairchild, are really, really good players. So it is a good year to need that guard. And when I look at my team needs for Miami, it's still right there at the top of needing a guard. So it's a good year for it. It's going to be more tackles moving inside than I think pure guards this year. But when it comes to that, there's certainly a lot of players.
Good. I need the depth just in case there's two guys drafted at that point. We need to get as many as we can down here body-wise. I think that's a huge, huge hole, gaping hole on the offensive line now for the Miami Dolphins. Go to the other side, line of scrimmage, defensive tackle. Zach Sealer's obviously here. Calais Campbell, if he's got another Fountain of Youth year, I'll take it at this point. But they're going to need some depth there too. How's that DT depth? Not necessarily the nose tackle, but that kind of inside guy. What do you think that's looking like come this draft?
I like it. I really like it. Derek Harmon from Oregon had a great year. I mean, Mason Graham from Michigan's off the board to take him out of your wish list. But Derek Harmon, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, they're right in that range. Somebody that would be interesting would be Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, who kind of fits the size mold of a Calais Campbell, 6'6", 290.
Right.
So if you're looking for a young guy that can play a similar role, he would be in that range. Landon Jackson from Arkansas, another big-bodied defensive end who fits that range, somebody that could, you know, kick inside, you can move around a little bit. But I have like, you know, 3 or 4 defensive tackles in that mid to late first round range that aren't the nose tackle type that would be really good players there.
Yeah, they're going to need some depth there. I love the way Zach Sealer's played. And obviously I thought, I don't know how he was going to do without Christian Wilkins. That duo was unbelievable 2 years ago. Zach Sealer proved to me this year, just put another body next to him, he'll take care of it. He was really good this year. Obviously Calais Campbell, like I said, the Fountain of Youth was amazing to watch him play. What a leader in the locker room and a leader on the field also for these guys. Cornerback and safety are going to be top. Oh, I think safety is going to be top of the list, depending on what happens with Javon Holland this offseason too. And obviously Jordan Poyer, I doubt he's back next year for this Dolphins team. If he is, it's going to be on the cheap, and he won't be a guy, hopefully, that's going to be in that starting role, but maybe somewhere else. How's the safety spot look? I know at 13, there could be a guy there, but if they pass there and go somewhere else, how's that depth at the safety spot?
Yeah, I think there's a fall off from Malachi Starks, who will be probably a top 20 pick, definitely a top 20 pick. Round two, not many guys that I have a round 2 grade on. Nick Imawori from South Carolina is the only round 2 safety I have as of right now. Right. Round 3 is where you start to like it. Kamari Ramsey, USC, Andrew Makuba from Texas. That's, I think, more where the value might be. This is a shallow safety class, though, which is kind of interesting. That happens some years where just for whatever reason, players don't develop or guys decide to go back to college. Also, injuries have hurt, like Kevin Winston from Penn State would probably be a top 50 pick, but he had a season-ending injury in September. That's going to, you know, ultimately affect his availability, his readiness. That's going to affect his stock. So honestly, think if you're looking for a safety, like round 3 is probably the sweet spot, but maybe even into round 4.
Okay. Yeah, I just figured at this point they're going to have to load up at least with one guy back there, if not another DB anyway. What's the cornerback position? Is this going to be deep cornerback draft?
Not incredibly deep. Okay. We'll see. What position does Travis Hunter play? Like, you got to throw him
right
in the mix,
okay, right?
Right. Will Johnson from Michigan. Really good tape. Word is he's a little bit slow. That could affect him. After that, man, there is a drop-off. Jahdae Barron at Texas was a Thorpe Award winner. He might be more of an inside player at the next level. He has experience in safety, inside, outside corner. Siobhan Revel, East Carolina, and Benjamin Morrison, Notre Dame, were both lost for season-ending injuries. So that affects the corner class, right, even though they're both in this draft. We just got to get in front of them to see where they're at health-wise. So as far as round one corners, Trey Amos from Ole Miss might be my favorite. Like, he's a first-rounder, so I won't call him a sleeper, but he's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. But he's someone to watch as we get into the heat of the pre-draft process that I think will become a top 32 name.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to see these guys kind of fit into their spots and get into their spots in the next couple months. I love the kind of pre-draft season. I am a draft nerd. I love it. I love talking to you about stuff months beforehand and seeing how everything changes when we get to, you know, the Shrine and the Senior Bowl and all that, and then we get to the actual combine. I love how stuff changes like that, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun draft season as well. Matt, I'm going to bug you again in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, whatever it is, before we get to the draft. Love having you on the talk, just ball with you. Hopefully we have a nice divisional round weekend coming up. Wild card round, say what you say. I still love having football on, like Matt said, Saturdays and Sundays. Until that stops in a couple of weeks, I'm going to enjoy every second of it, and Matt wants you to as well. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate the time, as always. We'll bug you again soon. And listen, you're always a regular here in Krantz's Corner. We love having you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Matt Miller, an ESPN NFL Draft insider and analyst, joining us here for a couple minutes on Krantz's Corner.